Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for the Friday, February 21st reading of East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. The first article today is from the Scottsdale Progress. It's titled, Second State Bill to Bypass Axon Vote Introduced, by Tom Scanlon. 1 week after an Arizona senator introduced a bill that could bypass a Scottsdale vote regarding Axon's apartment office plan, a mirror bill launched in the Arizona House of Representatives. This could fast-track the legislation. In November, Scottsdale City Council approved Axon founder Rick Smith's plan for a new corporate headquarters of the taser and body cam giant surrounded by 1,800 apartments, condos, and a hotel. The rezoning would allow Axon to develop 74 acres it bought near Hayden Road and the Loop 101. In December, former Councilman Bob Littlefield's Taxpayers Against Unlawful Apartment Exceptions group turned in enough signatures to put Axon's plan on the 2026 ballot. Now, pending state legislation could disqualify the TASE effort. According to Arizona Senate Bill 1352, introduced February 5th by Senator David Gowen, Republican of Sierra Vista, the approval by the legislative body of an application for rezoning pursuant to this section is an administrative act and is not subject to the filing of a referendum petition by a person or organization. An amendment makes the bill retroactive to June 30, 2024, which would wipe out the TASE referendum push. House Bill 2925, sponsored by four Republicans, Majority Leader Michael Carbone, Leo Bascucci, Chris Lopez, and Michael Way, mirrors the language of the SB 1352 bill. SB 1352 was approved by the Regulatory Affairs and Government Efficiency Committee by a 5-2 vote on February 5th, and the Rules Committee by a 4-2-1 vote on February 10th. Rather than waiting for the Senate bill to pass a floor vote, Carbone's House bill can begin its own process. I think they are trying to move it along quickly, said Tim Lasota, an attorney representing TASE. Even so, the legislation still has a long way to go to become law, including a signature from Governor Katie Hobbs, who has wielded the veto pen frequently against Republican-backed bills. Smith said the legislation is aimed at preventing opponents from using death by referendum to snuff out job-creating projects. Councilman Barry Graham, who, with Councilwoman Kathy Littlefield, voted against Axon's rezoning request in November, said the two bills would eliminate constitutional rights to refer rezoning decisions to the ballot. The retroactive language, he complained, would disenfranchise the 27,000 Scottsdale residents who signed the petition to refer Axon's 1,900 apartments to the ballot. Bob Littlefield called the bills unconstitutional. In an email blast, he raged Smith and his staff have managed to persuade some state legislators from outside Scottsdale, Buckeye and Sierra Vista, to introduce legislation that would prohibit all future referendums on land use issues for all citizens in all the cities of Arizona. He complained the retroactivity clause would wipe out the TASE effort that gathered more than 25,000 signatures to put Axon's plan on the ballot. Axon provided a written statement. Our team continues to meet with both Republicans and Democratic legislatures, providing them with facts about SB 1352 and HB 2925 and how these bills will protect economic development in Arizona. Elected leaders on both sides of the aisle clearly get it. This measure is about much more than Axon. We've seen multiple times over the past few years the referendum process is frequently weaponized by special interests seeking to kill valuable projects for reasons that have nothing to do with building a better community or advancing the state's economy. We will do everything we can to keep them moving through the legislature. And that article was titled, Second State Bill to Bypass Axon Vote Introduced. Scottsdale Unifying Board Ponders Budget Cuts, by Tom Scanlon. With declining enrollment, rocketing costs, and some funding uncertainties, Scottsdale Unified School District's governing board may need to ponder a grimace-inducing question. What to cut? Shannon Crossier, the district's chief financial officer, was blunt during the board's February 11th meeting. We need to make cuts. We recognize that, Crossier said. Decreases in instructional staffing is likely because that's where our staff is, she noted. At the same time, raises for teachers are likely as we need to keep our talent. The presentation covered projections for the next school year. Crossier had the board's full attention when she posed, how do we make up a $2.8 million to $4.2 million deficit? Some savings, she said in answering her own question, will come from becoming less reliant on consultants and outside providers for special education programs. And, due to falling enrollment, a $1.2 million savings in staff reduction can be made, she reasoned. While Crossier said she was confident in $2.8 million in savings, I don't know where to find the savings for a full $4.2 million. At the meeting, the board heard average daily membership, which most understand as enrollment, was down to 19,367 students. That's a drop of just under 390 from last year, which in turn had dropped 355 from the previous year. The current enrollment figure is 13% lower than the 22,608 students the district taught 7 years ago. That had board members doing math in their heads, as major district funding is based on enrollment numbers. The falling total enrollment and drop in student-weighted count leads to a projected $2.9 million reduction in the budget, according to Crossier. In addition to declining enrollment, the budget carry-forward was about $1 million less, and that's a little concerning to me, Crossier said. We don't know what's going to happen with Proposition 123, Crossier added. As such, she gave budget figures with and without the state funding sources, which must be approved as part of Arizona's next budget. Crossier said the district gets around $1.3 million from Proposition 123. The SUSD carryover, or surplus, will continue to drop by another $3 million. The reason? It costs the district more for everything, according to Crossier. Board member Amy Carney asked to target administration and support services for cuts as opposed to teachers. She also expressed concerns that class sizes would increase. Likely calling on his experience as an entrepreneur, new board member Matt Patinsky suggested fundamentally rethinking our expense structure as SUSD is in a cycle of declining enrollment. As a district, we're committed to keeping the reductions as far from the classroom as we can, Menzel said. Just the same, he said, instructional staff makes up the bulk of salaries. Menzel said he hopes to continue providing annual pay increases to teachers and other staff. Crossier said she will meet with department leaders to make tough decisions. At the February 25th board meeting, she will give a budget review update on interest-based negotiations. Salary schedules will be presented to the board on March 4th. On June 10th, Crossier will unveil a proposed budget. There's a potential to have more budget discussions, Menzel noted. He said the state often waits until the end of June to pass its budget, which leads to uncertainty in the district's budgeting. Bottom lines. The maintenance and operations revenues will be at $182 to $183.4 million, depending on Proposition 123. Additional assistant estimate, $17.8 million. Additional assistance override estimate, $17.5 million. Without the Governor Katie Hobbs-backed Proposition 123, Scottsdale Unified School District will have to cut around $4.2 million from its budget. Even with Proposition 123 funds, Scottsdale Unified School District will need to cut $2.9 million from its previous budget for the next school year. Crossier said she and her staff had identified $2.7 million in budget cuts, anchored by 21 positions that will not be filled. The M&O override was approved in November 2023 and went into effect last year, generating around $22 million annually. Those funds are aimed to maintain current class size ratios, continue to provide opportunities for students to deepen their understanding of fine arts and participate in athletic and extracurricular activities, continue to provide competitive teacher compensation, continue emphasis on technology, maintaining all-day kindergarten, continue staff professional development. In 2022, voters approved the District Additional Assistance Capital Override. With a maximum of $14.5 million per year, it funds furniture, fixtures and equipment, libraries, athletics, fine arts, playgrounds and facilities, curriculum and technology. After the three-hour public portion of the meeting, the board went into a private executive session for discussion or consultation for legal advice with the attorney or attorneys regarding county property tax issue. Named after one of the Scottsdale homeowners on the plaintiff list, the 2016 Quismayer lawsuit successfully argued the court overcharged thousands of properties after faulty home value recalculations. Forced to do math after calculating classifications, the Maricopa County Assessor in June released a document showing a whopping $330 million in overcharges since 2015. The county deemed Scottsdale Unified School District must pay back $27 million. And that article was titled, Scottsdale Unified Board Ponders Budget Cuts. Play Ball is Just Days Away by Tom Scanlon. Uber drivers and other rideshare haulers will be checking their car springs before loading up on visitors. Grinning merchants around Old Town have a certain spring in their step this time of year, and waitstaff and bartenders will spring into action to serve the hungry and thirsty masses. For the rest of the world, spring is still a month away. But for Scottsdale and the rest of the Cactus League, spring is here. The Cactus League is an economic powerhouse that lures visitors from far away in the chilly east. Arizona Spring Training League, Florida hosts the Grapefruit League, the other half of the spring training ball. Cactus League play begins when the Chicago Cubs visit the Los Angeles Dodgers in their Glendale home away from home at 1 p.m. on Thursday, February 20th. Scottsdale Stadium sees its first action at 1 p.m. Sunday, February 23rd, when the San Francisco Giants play in their longtime spring training home against the Cincinnati Reds. Salt River Fields at Talking Stick, on tribal land but a bunt from Scottsdale, is the home of the Rockies, as well as the hometown Arizona Diamondbacks. The Rockies and Diamondbacks kick off the season at Salt River Fields by facing each other at 1 p.m. Friday, February 21st and Saturday, February 22nd. Right between the two Cactus League ballparks, Old Scottsdale, with everything a fan needs for a long home run visit. Scottsdale welcomes thousands of baseball fans every year with our restaurants, retail shopping, and resort and hotel lodging, Councilman Barry Graham noted. Those registers ringing like pinball machines means a nice cut to the city of sales tax. According to Rachel Simtana, the city's tourism and events director, a 2018 study, the most recent, estimated that spring training spend to $28.5 million in Scottsdale annually. With Play Ball days away, Smentana said, our Old Town merchants seem excited and ready for the influx of visitors. Closely following the Waste Management Phoenix Open, the Cactus League is a big economic boost for local businesses. In the last 3 years, according to experienced Scottsdale data, hotel occupancy in the Scottsdale area hovered between 75 and 80% in February and March. In the summer, hotels are less than half full. Baseball visitors strengthen our tourism season, Graham said, and those visitors often consider becoming residents of Scottsdale too. While many packing Scottsdale Stadium and Salt River Fields will be there for the fun and sun, the hardcore baseball fans will eyeball seasoned stars and size up young talent. Preseason games are an almost frivolous chance to loosen up for the likes of Justin Verlander, the Giants' 41-year-old hurler with 262 career wins, and Ellie De La Cruz, the budding superstar shortstop powering the Reds lineup. Then there are the raw rookies, highlighted by Giants bashing first baseman Bryce Eldridge, born the year Verlander made his big league debut. Cactus League play at Scottsdale Stadium ends Saturday, March 22nd, when the Giants host the Diamondbacks. The last game at Talking Stick this year will be the Rockies taking on the Milwaukee Brewers Monday, March 24th. A dozen teams play ball at eight other stadiums across the valley. Promotions. An ASU study last year showed the total economic impact of the 2023 Cactus League is conservatively estimated at $418.5 million. Experience Scottsdale contracts with the City of Scottsdale as well as Paradise Valley to promote tourism, using a budget of $22.5 million, $16 million of that from Scottsdale, from hotel stay bed taxes. According to its recent newsletter, Experience Scottsdale partnered with the Colorado Rockies and the San Francisco Giants to promote the upcoming Cactus League spring training season through various event activations and marketing promotions. To connect with Rockies fans, the Experience Scottsdale newsletter states, "We sponsored and activated the ice skating rink and warming station at McGregor Square next to Coors Field. We offered a chance to win a Scottsdale getaway, hosted an event with the Colorado Rockies players, and provided Scottsdale visitors' guides." Experience Scottsdale also blasted out spring training getaway emails to 300,000 baseball fans, as well as participating in the San Francisco Bay Area baseball promotions. Kyle Urban, the operations and events supervisor at Scottsdale Stadium, said the venue is ready for visitors, as well as 70 or so veterans and young players shooting for the 26 spots on the opening day roster. What's new at Scottsdale Stadium this season? Urban said the city's construction seeking to revitalize the left field berm and add another modern element to Scottsdale Stadium started last April. The project will be completed in time for 2025 spring training season and adds a great patio and shade feature to the top of the left field berm, while adding additional grass seating to the left field side of the berm, Urban said. The area will feature multiple concessions as well as mixed standing room areas for folks looking to enjoy their food with a view, party style, in other words. The newly shaped berm is supported by a new retaining wall. Urban promises the same premium grass space baseball fans have come to love, with additional elevated vantage points. With shade in mind, trees were planted last spring. The addition is not just for baseball fans. The City of Scottsdale intends to create a mixed-use day park for public access to the newly enhanced berm, with daytime hours so visitors can visit the stadium year-round to enjoy the new deck, the grassy area in left field, and take in the serenity of Scottsdale Stadium on non-game days, according to Urban. The day park is tentatively scheduled to open in April, he said. Tickets to see the Giants range from $15 to $120. But, Urban noted, the Giants Arizona Residents Reward Program offers up to 40% off ticket prices for Arizona residents. With parking around Old Town at a premium this time of year, the city is continuing a free trolley route from the Scottsdale Fashion Square to Scottsdale Stadium. The trolley runs from the Nordstrom parking garage through Old Town to the stadium every 20 minutes during home games, with rides starting 90 minutes before the first pitch and ending 30 minutes after the last inning. For more information on parking, stadium rules, schedules, tickets, and more, visit scottsdaleaz.gov/scottsdale-stadium/spring-training or mlb.com/giants/tickets/spring-training/specials. And that article was titled, "Play Ball is Just Days Away." Protests fly as Scottsdale defunds DEI, by Tom Scanlon. Just a few years ago, many who heard DEI might have shrugged, while those in the construction industry would have thought it was a reference to an Ohio company. DEI is nationally known as Expert in Design Build Construction. During the first few weeks of 2025, the catchphrase DEI, standing for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, has become mainstream and dominated conversations. Critics from President Donald Trump to Scottsdale Councilman Adam Kwansman think DEI stands for wokeness and unfairly slants hiring and wastes money on training. Proponents like Don Logan and others who tried to rebuff the Kwansman-led initiative to end DEI city programs say the federal and local movements to defund diversity are dangerous. At a February 11th meeting before a jeering crowd, Kwansman and the majority of city council voted to discontinue the use of city funds for diversity, equity, and inclusion systematic programming to include the Office of DEI, DEI programming and trainings, and other initiatives. According to the agenda report, the funding for the Office of Diversity for fiscal year 2024-25 is $716,356. Most in the standing room only crowd at City Hall appeared to be against the proposal. After the vote to stop funding DEI programs, many booed with calls of shame and racist. A furious veteran Councilwoman Solange Whitehead, who along with new Councilwoman Mary Ann McAllen voted against the proposal, received a rousing ovation after raging against Kwansman and company. This ordinance was done behind the scenes without public process, Whitehead alleged. This echoed complaints at the January 14th meeting when City Council revoked the month-old sustainability plan by a 4-3 vote. Whitehead, first elected in 2018 and re-elected in 2022, said defunding DEI proposals in favor of merit-based employment language is misleading. For as long as I've been in Scottsdale and before that, this city has been a merit-based city, she proclaimed. After being attacked by several speakers, Kwansman insisted he was in favor of the principles of diversity, equity, and inclusivity. The problem is DEI, as practiced here and elsewhere, runs policies through the lens of race and sex. It actively prevents equality, Kwansman insisted. We don't need another government program that doesn't do much at all, the former state representative said, as several in the crowd challenged him. We believe in equality, Kwansman concluded, and equal justice under the law. You're a liar, yelled Andre Miller, a Mesa pastor and vice president of the Arizona chapter of the NAACP. New mayor Lisa Borowski thanked the crowd for a very lively conversation. We definitely like to hear from you, even if at the end of the day we don't agree. She said she was born and raised in Scottsdale. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is alive and well and highly valued in Scottsdale, said Borowski, who trounced Mayor David Ortega's re-election attempt in November. Ortega, who did not attend the February 11th meeting, complained via email of a regressive city council vote with a reckless council majority led by Mayor Borowski. Borowski said there was nothing incautious about the action. Scottsdale is a diverse city. Scottsdale will continue to prioritize merit-based hiring, she insisted. Borowski said she agreed with many of the speakers, but what I didn't hear was any tangible impact from the city's DEI program. Most speakers protested. Before the elected officials voted, 47 people shared their views on the issue, with 45 opposing getting rid of DEI and 2 encouraging the council to take action. The first groans and roars of protest came early in the meeting, when Borowski said that because there were so many who wished to speak on the issue, she was limiting time to 1 minute per speaker. One of the first who begged, pleaded, scolded, or cautioned council to reject the motion identified herself as a retired fire chief. This is not about hiring unqualified, diverse people, Bobby Scopa said. The reason we have DEI programs is because highly qualified, diverse applicants were being passed over exactly because they were indigenous or gay or Muslim. I didn't say this, Scopa told the Progress after her mini-speech, but I am transgender. According to BobbyIsOnFire.com, for 45 years she worked as a firefighter, chief, and deputy director throughout the western U.S. and Washington, D.C. Scopa, who told the council she also spent a month at Ground Zero, was followed by dozens, including a rabbi who warned removing DEI is harmful, a reverend who complained this whole proposal is wrong-headed, and a minister who demanded, is this council really against diversity? Several who spoke mentioned February 26, 2004, when Don Logan, the then director of the Office of Diversity and Dialogue, opened a box set to the office, triggering a massive pipe bomb explosion. Logan suffered severe injuries that required multiple surgeries. Two other employees were injured. The convicted bomber received a 40-year sentence. A few months before he sent the explosive, he left a voicemail for Logan, identifying himself as Dennis Mahon of the White Aryan Resistance of Arizona, a 2014 court documents say. Former city manager Jan Dolan, who was dismissed by a very different city council in 2008, warned the current elected officials that by defunding DEI, you will throw out what the white supremacists could not do. Later, Logan himself took to the podium. He forcefully told the council he never relives February 26, 2004, the day he opened the package that exploded, every day. There is nothing in this DEI package that is dangerous, he proclaimed, closing with a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of convenience and comfort, but, he challenged Scottsdale's elected officials to finish the quote, where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. When none answered, Logan sneered as he walked away. You need diversity training, he said. When asked by the progress about his comment, Logan said he was upset that Kwansman was looking down at his computer, apparently oblivious to what Logan was saying. It was very disrespectful, so I called him out, Logan said. Logan, who lives in Chandler and is the director of the Phoenix Equal Opportunity Department, said he was proud to launch the first diversity office in the state of Arizona and one of the first in the country. He called the dismantling of the program a slap in the face. After what I went through, he said. And that's all the time we have left for that article, which was titled, Protests Fly as Scottsdale Defunds DEI. You've been listening to the East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. All your favorite programs are available on demand anytime at sunsounds.org. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. Have a great rest of your day.